قسمي محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد سبقت كلمتنا لعبادنا المرسلين إنهم لهم المنصورون وإن جندنا لهم الغالبون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. Over the past nights, we have been discussing about the concept of self-purification, or tazkiyatun nafs. And so far, inshallah, we have come to understand that a nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it so that it acts between, or connects between, the body and its desires and its needs, and the ruh, the spirit of the human being, or the soul of the human being. And so if the human being obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the human being submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this nafs of the human being, Allah gave it that ability to distinguish what is haqq and what is batil, what is right and what is wrong. And that ability is the aql, the mind, that Allah equipped this nafs with. So if the human being uses his aql, utilizes his mind, then he can control the body and its desires, and then he can pull himself towards his ruh, and hence he can ascend in the path of spirituality to get closer and closer to Allah, such that he does not even start looking with the same eye that we start looking at things. He actually looks at the real things. For example, when Imam al-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, one day went to Hajj with one of his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad. The companion, when they arrived to the Kaaba, he said, "Ma akthar al-hajij." MashaAllah, this year we have lots of people performing Hajj. Imam told him, "What? Ma akthar al-dajij." There is a lot of noise. Few people performing Hajj. So this man asked the companion, "What do you mean, Ibn Rasulullah? So many people there?" Then Imam said, "Look through my fingers." He went like this and he said, "Look through my fingers." Then this man started looking through the fingers of the Imam alayhi salam. He said, "I saw animals doing tawaf around the Kaaba. One person is a fox, another man is a lion, another one is a wolf, and so on and so forth. Few people, out of all those crowd, there were few humans. The rest were animals." So here the Imam salamullahi alayhi, because he controls his nafs to the extent where his nafs has ascended to the maximum level. Of course, he's Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim, where now he doesn't see just with through the naked eyes that we see. He actually sees the essence of the things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the Hadith Qudsi says, "O my servant," the servant continues getting closer and closer to me until I become the eyes through which he sees, the ears, and so on and so forth. The Hadith that we mentioned a few nights ago. So then he starts seeing the real things. And when a person starts really seeing the real things, then of course he will never favor anything over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will never favor anything over the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will never care about anything materialistic. He will only worry about the akhirah. Because his love will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mind is all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he controls his desires very well. That's it. So this is one end, when a person ascends to that spirituality. Or, wal'iyadu billah, if the person doesn't use his aql, turns off the aql, turns off the mind, then he starts getting the desire to control the aql. And hence this person becomes like the animals. Excuse me. He wants to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example we gave a few nights ago, a person wanting to steal, He wants to commit a theft, a robbery. His aql at first tells him, wrong, this is something that you should not be doing. But then he says, no, the desires take control of the aql, the control of the mind. And they say, no, we want to be rich. I don't care. We want to earn money. So now help me plan the robbery. So then the person starts thinking and starts outlining how he's going to go about the robbery, for example. So this is when the desires take control of the mind and they descend the human being until he becomes like, as the Quran say, like the animals, but even worse. So this is what we have been discussing over the past few nights. And towards the end, we said that in order for a person to be reminded to ascend a person to that path of spirituality, a person has to remind himself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the presence of Allah in his life, constantly, night and day, and that is through dhikr, dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing dhikr, the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi says that everything has a limit except dhikr. Dhikr has no limit. Reading the Quran is dhikr. Reading a dua taught to us by Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is dhikr. Praying to Allah is dhikr. Doing salat is dhikr. So you can imagine, it's infinite. Infinite. You taking the tasbih, for example, and saying subhanallah, that's dhikr. Reciting salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Is dhikr. And hence, as you drive to work, for example, you do istighfar, you do tasbih, you do salawat, your whole journey to work is dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listening to a dua, for example, on your CD player in the car, or if you're taking the transit, for example, listening to it on these MP3 players or MP4 players, depending these days, mashallah, maybe they'll have MP5 and MP6. But all these, this is now you're turning your whole journey and it's just waiting there or driving into dhikr. So that whole process becomes dhikr. Your whole life becomes dhikr. Your whole life becomes ibadah. That is when a person starts to reflect about Allah. And hence, the ayah says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who constantly remember Allah while they're standing, while they're sitting, while they're lying down, even at the time when they're sleeping, they reflect about Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, تَنَامُ عَيْنِي وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي. My eyes fall asleep, but my heart never sleeps. Which means even his sleep is ibadah. Even the sleep of Rasulullah is ibadah. Because after all, he's a bashar, he's a human being. He needs time to rest. So he takes this rest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. O Taha, O Prophet of Allah, we did not send this Qur'an upon you so that you make it difficult on yourself. Madmoon al-ayah, yani. So, we did not make this in Qur'an descended upon you so that you trouble yourself so much. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila, niswahu awanqus minhu qalila, awzid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'ana tartila. Allah says, O ya ayyuhal muzzammil, again referring to the Prophet, you don't have to stay up the whole night, qum al-layl illa qalila. So stay up the night except for some part of it. You need to rest after all. So rest yourself. Niswahu awanqus minhu qalila, awzid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'ana tartila. So either a little bit half of the night, you know, a little bit more than half of the night, nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you need to rest. Rest your body. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rests his body so that he can do ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He eats so that he can get strength to do ibadah to Allah. So even his eating becomes ibadah. When he, for example, goes to his family, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to take care of our families. He ordered us to teach the family, teach the children, spend time with the family. So when I'm with my family, it means I'm also doing ibadah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants this. So the whole life becomes ibadah. That is when a person does dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So constantly he is reminding himself or she is reminding herself that, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's blessed me with all these blessings that I have. Everything that I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence, this individual, whatever he loses in dunya, that is materialistic, he doesn't worry about it. He doesn't care about it. If he loses his job, he says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." You know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed me with rizq my whole life. I am now 30 or 40 or 50 years old. For 50 years he's been blessing me with rizq. Now he'll forget about me. He'll let me go. No. Allah is testing me. No problem. So whatever difficulty he or she experiences, he knows this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a test. And he says, you know what? I will be inshallah successful and patient. I will pass this test inshallah. And his iman in Allah does not even move or shake. Yes, that doesn't mean that when he loses a loved one, he doesn't cry. The Prophet cried for the loss of his son. He cried. He cried for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So we do cry for the loved ones. But there is difference between crying and between, wal'iyadu billah, jaza', which means that we say, why ya Allah, why you do this? We complain of what Allah does to us, wal'iyadu billah. So the prophets, the anbiya, the imams alayhim as-salam, they don't complain to Allah. Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, he says, ya Allah, ridhan bi qada'ik. I am submitting to your command and your decree. When they killed his son, he said, Abdullah, the baby, he said, هَوَّنَ عَلَيَّ مَا نَزَلَ بِي أَنَّهُ بِعَيْنِ اللَّهِ. What makes it easy for me is that Allah is taking care of him. Now, that was not an easy thing, of course, for the Imam. So how Imam reaches all this level of high taqwa and piety is through control of himself. He knows. He knows that, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever difficulty he puts, inflicts upon me, it is abala. He wants to test me. So I'll be patient and I'll be successful through this difficulty. And I will always be make sure that Allah is pleased with me. So that is when he loses anything materialistic. This individual always remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hence when he loses anything materialistic, he is always at peace and he does not even worry about it. In addition, this individual, whenever he is about to commit a ma'asiyah wal'iyadu billah, shaitan wants to whisper to him or to her. He is doing dhikr of Allah, and hence he reminds himself. Allah says about the muttaqeen, when shaitan tries to whispers to them, tadakkaru, they remember. So for a few moments, maybe when you drive, sometimes when you drive, sometimes you think about something else. Your mind wanders somewhere else. All of a sudden you find that you have pressed too much on the gas pedal. You're speeding. Then the minute you realize, you hit the brakes. Slow down a little bit. Okay. Same thing. A muttaqi, a mu'min. Sometimes, yes, his mind slips away a little bit. But he immediately wakes up and hits the brake. He remembers that Allah is watching him or her. And hence, he does not commit the ma'asiyah. Or he stops and refrains from committing the ma'asiyah. This is the path of tazkiyatun nafs. So this is the path of self-purification, brothers and sisters. This is what the ultimate goal. And hence, when a person has such a life, what we concluded with a few nights ago is that this person will have a happy life. A happy life in dunya, and of course a happy life in the akhirah. This person doesn't worry. Whatever Allah inflicts upon him of difficulties, he says, this test from Allah. No problem. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He has a happy life. He doesn't get angry. He never gets angry, this individual. He's always happy. That's the hadith of the Prophet. Al-mu'min huznuhu fi qalbih wa bushruhu fi wajhih. A mu'min, his pain, his grief is inside his heart. Because he's always worried that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not accepting his a'mal. That he's not doing enough. So this brings grief to the mu'min. He remembers the akhirah, the adab of the akhirah, the day of mahshar. So this is inside his heart. However, when you meet him, he's smiling at you, he's pleasant with you, and you don't even feel. Maybe this mu'min, his house could be, for example, on fire. His son may have just died. But he doesn't even, you wouldn't even know. Nothing. You don't even know. The way he's talking to you, smiling at you. And there are many mu'mineen of such example across history who have learned from the school of Ahlul Bayt, salamullahi alayhim. So these are the individuals who are happy in dunya and of course happy in the akhirah. They'll be blessed in dunya and blessed in the akhirah. Here, when a person then stands to learn, one of the best examples Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The school of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura teaches so much about this tazkiyatun nafs, the self-purification. When we see Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for example, experiencing all these difficulties to the extent where he sees his own sons getting killed in front of him, which is very difficult. Yet, like Hamid ibn Muslim says, he came to fight in the battle like a brave lion, like a person who is not even moved by all these afflictions and all these tragedies. So when we say that, when we see this, we stand and we say, Subhanallah, if this is our Imam, then we have to follow the path of our Imam. We have to be like our Imam. If Imam Salamullah alayhi managed to ascend in the path of spirituality, such that he's lying on the plains of Karbala, and he's saying, Ilahi, O my Lord, I have left everything for your love. Everything. And I've made my children orphans for you, Ya Allah. So this teaches us that, you know what? Everything we do has to be for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This teaches us, brothers and sisters, to always ask ourselves, what have I done for my akhirah? What have I done with other people? Have I oppressed any other mu'min? Have I taken the right of another individual? What have I done in my dunya? As long as I'm alive, let me go back and try to fix things before it's too late. So this way I can purify myself. I can purify myself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the ayat that I just mentioned, He says, whomever follows the path of the prophets, including the prophets themselves, alayhim as-salam, the prophets and whomever follows the path of the prophets, Allah says, these are the ones who will be victorious in dunya and in the akhirah. Allah says in these verses that we recited from Surah As-Saffat, verses number 171 to 173. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Our word has been given to our servants, the messengers of our servants. That word is what? إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. Indeed, Allah uses إِنَّهُمْ. إِنَّ is أداة تأكيد, which means certainly. إِنَّ. Certainly, هُمْ, they, لَا, لَهُمْ. That لَهُمْ is also another confirmation. Another confirmation. So Allah here is using two confirmations. إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. Those are the ones who are victorious ones. And وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And our army, جُنْدُ اللَّهِ, those are the individuals who support the prophets. These are the individuals, the mu'mineen, the muttaqeen, who support the cause of the prophets. They are the ones who are the winners. They will be the winners. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you guys will win. And then in another ayah, which is in Surah Al-Mu'min or Surah Ghafir, verse number 51, Allah says, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Indeed, we will make our prophets victorious and the believers in this hayat, in this world, in فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ, and on the day of judgment. How? How will He make them victorious? One, they'll be victorious, of course, because they are spreading the haqq, and the haqq is always prevailing. The haqq always prevails. The truth always prevails. No matter what happens, sometimes people can cover the truth, but they cannot cover it forever. The truth will prevail. The hujjah, or the proof that the prophets use, the signs the prophets use, prevail. Musa salamullah alayhi prevailed over Fir'aun. His signs prevailed. Our prophet prevailed over Quraysh. They fought against him, and what happened to the leaders of Quraysh? Abu Jahl and his leaders, his companions, they all got killed in the battle of Badr. Allah made the mu'mineen victorious in the battle of Badr. And then a short while later, 8 years later, after the migration of the prophet comes back victorious to Mecca, taking Mecca. So, the word of the Prophet becomes victorious. Al-Hujjah. Because they're on Haqq. And Haqq always prevails. Haqq is always prevailing. No matter what people try to do to Haqq, it always prevails. And one thing we know for certainty, Ahlul Bayt are Haqq. Ahlul Bayt are Haqq. The Prophet, as their master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his daughter Fatima al-Zahra and his son-in-law and his cousin Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib and Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein and the nine ma'sumeen from the progeny of Imam al-Hussein, concluding with our Imam al-Mahdi ajallallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. They are all haq. Haq. They are all truth. And hence they will prevail. In the battle of Jamal, Abu Dhar al-Ghafari had a servant. Of course, Abu Dhar was dead by the time, but he had another servant. This is not Joan. Not Joan, another servant. The servant says, on the battle of Jamal, I got confused a little bit. Who is on haq and who is on batil? Because here are companions with the wife of the Prophet, and here are also companions with Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayh. So it's very confusing. I don't know where is haq and where is batil. He says, but I waited until dhuhr. By dhuhr, Allah clarified what is haq for me. And so I fought next to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. When the battle finished, I came back to Medina. I knocked the door of Umm Salama, the Prophet's wife. She said, who is there? I told her, I am the servant of Abu Dhar al-Ghafari. She said, do you want food? Do you want some food? Do you want some help? He said, no, I have a question to ask you. So she said, what is it? What's your question? He told her, at the time of the battle of Jamal, before the battle started, I had some doubt. I didn't know who's on haq and who's on batil. Here are sahaba and here are sahaba. There is the wife of the Prophet on one side and Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is on the other side. And he's the Khalifa of the Muslims. The Khalifa is on one side, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and those people are on the other side. So I got confused. So she said, so what did you do then? What did you do? He said, well, by noon, Allah showed me the truth. And I fought next to Ali ibn Abi Talib. This hadith is narrated by Al-Hakim al-Nayshaburi. Hakim, he's not a Shia scholar. In his Mustadrak. And he says, hadithun sahih. This is sahih, this hadith. He says, this servant of Abu Dhar then says to Umm Salama, he says, by noon, Allah clarified it for me, and I fought next to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. She replied then, she said, well done, because I heard the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling me, I heard him saying, Aliyun ma'a al-haq, wal-haqqu ma'a Ali. And hence, since you fought next to Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali is with haq. And there is another hadith, Aliyun ma'a al-Qur'an, وَالْقُرْآنُ مَعَ عَلِي. Ali is with the Qur'an. When we know the Qur'an, all Muslims agree the Qur'an is an infallible book. It's a book of infallibility. Ma'soom, because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence Ali is also infallible. Ali is ma'soom. So Ali, so she told him, well done. You did the right thing. Because Ali is always with haq. And hence Ahlul Bayt are always with haq. They're always with the truth. And hence they always prevail. And the mu'mineen who follow the path of Ahlul Bayt always prevail. Anybody who follows the path of Ahlul Bayt prevails. Prevails. In dunya and in the akhirah. So they prevail because they're haq. They're haq. The second way they prevail, it's either in dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the prophets and their successors, their mu'mineen, the mu'mineen, the followers of the prophets, prevail over the zalimeen. Either in their life, like for example, Allah punished Musa, punished Fir'aun, sorry, in the life of Musa alayhi salam, and made Musa prevail. Allah made Yusuf become the king of Egypt alayhi salam. And hence, in his lifetime, Allah, like I mentioned, made our Prophet victorious over Abu Jahl in his lifetime. Either in his lifetime, or sometimes after the death of the prophets, Allah punishes the people who heard the prophets. So for example, Allah says in Surah Yusuf. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hatta, that's in the second to last ayah of Surah Yusuf, ayah 110. Allah says, Hatta idha stay'asa ar-rusul, until the prophets, because of what they see from their people, they're about to give up. You know, they're saying, Ya Allah, our people, our tribes are hurting us a lot. They're punishing us, they're killing us. Like in the case of Bani Israel, it is said, in one day, Bani Israel killed 70 prophets. 70 prophets. between dawn and sunrise. And then after sunrise, they went about doing their job as if nothing has happened. They went on to their businesses and their things. In one day, we heard that Prophet Zakaria, he got killed. Prophet Zakaria Islam got killed. Prophet Yahya got killed. So these people, sometimes, you know, they get killed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. And they thought, or they see that they are getting belied. People are belying them. People are attacking them. What happens? جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. Our victory, our help came. So some people were saved. Like for example, at the time of Lut alayhi salam, Prophet Lut was saved with some of his family members except his wife. She was punished. So Allah gave him the news that Lut, by tomorrow you need to leave. The punishment will be sent upon the remaining of the people. Same thing with Prophet Salih alayhi salam. When they killed his camel, he was told, you and the believers leave. You and the believers leave, and the punishment will fall upon the city. So they left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we save whomever we will. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنَ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And then the mujrimeen, the criminals, whom Allah says the criminals, the ones who belie the prophets, the one who deny the haqq, they're punished. They're punished. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا إِذِ انْبَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. Then what happened? فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. خلاص. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports his prophets, one, because they say the truth, the haqq, and the haqq will prevail. They have the hujjah, they have the right, they have the proof. He supports them by either making them victorious over their enemies in this dunya and this life, or by punishing their enemies as well in this life. And they're also victorious in the akhirah. They're also supported and victorious in the akhirah as well. Allah tells the Prophet, our Prophet, in Surah At-Tahrim verse 8, يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِ اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. On the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not embarrass or ashamed the Prophet and those who believed with him. That's why we pray in the Quran, we pray in Surah Ali Imran, we make this dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ.
Oh Allah, do not embarrass us, do not ashame us on the day of judgment. One of the sentences, وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It is mustahab to recite this ayah, by the way, on the day of Ghadir. On the day of Ghadir, these two verses, it's mustahab to recite it. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا. We hear the caller calling us for iman. That iman, the true iman, is the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatu Allah wa salamu alayhi. So we believed in him, ya Allah. We believed in the caller. We believed in the one who's calling us for the wilayah. So it's mustahab to recite these two verses, which are found in Surah Ali Imran, on the day of Eid al-Ghadir. Nonetheless, so the mu'mineen, they are supported. The mu'mineen, they are supported in this dunya and in the akhirah. And hence the prophets and the imams, also they are supported. And anyone who supports them is supported in this dunya and in the akhirah. And brothers and sisters, one of the best ways of getting purified and getting, you know, cleansed throughout is through serving Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wassalam. Serving Ahlul Bayt. Few nights ago, I mentioned how respecting Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wassalam, can help clarify and cleanse one's self. We saw the example of Hur, how he respected Imam Hussein alayhi salam in two occasions, and as a consequence of his respect to Imam Hussein, Allah blessed him and made him enter Jannah in one night, in one day, the last day, few moments before the battle starts. This man, Allah changes his life 180 degrees, and he makes the right decision. few moments sometimes. That is what is, you know, the majab. Few moments. And on the contrary, you find an individual who throughout his life is a believer, but because he commits one sin, wal'iyadu billah, that sin then in the last moment deprives him of Allah's mercy, like Bal'am bin Ba'ura that we mentioned a few nights ago. This man who knew Ismullah al-A'zam, but because of his jealousy against Musa alayhi salam, Allah punished him. Allah punished him and he died opposing Musa, wal'iyadu billah. So we have to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we follow the path of Ahlul Bayt. And by following the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, make sure that we obey them. We love them. We obey them. We don't do something that they dislike, no matter how small it is in our eyes or how big it is. Some people will pick up, for example, the big books of laws, the fiqh, and they look at what are the major sins. Some of the major sins. Shirk billah. I say, alhamdulillah, I don't do shirk billah. Okay, good. Ghiba, for example, wal'ayadu billah, causing problems between people. Some of the major sins that our ulama have written in their books. And in fact, there's one of the ulama, may Allah bless his soul, he's written a book called The Major Sins, Ad-Dunub al-Kabira. So, they're listed there. And the person says, you know what, I don't have to worry about this. But we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, because insisting on a small sin, insisting on it, makes it a big sin, makes it a major sin, a small sin. Some of our fuqaha, for example, they say it is wajib to have a beard. Some of them say it's wajib to have a beard. And so if a person insists on shaving, then he's disobeying the ruling of the faqih. So that is a small sin, yes, but then it becomes a major sin. Listening to haram music is haram, is forbidden. Person insisting on it, then this makes it a major sin. And then it's like a chain, subhanAllah. One sin leads to another sin. One sin leads to another sin without us even knowing, without us even understanding. Like a chain. Until it drags us all the way, wal'iyadu billah, to the hellfire. And same thing with committing good sins. It also will drag you to Jannah. Speaking of serving Imam Hussein and speaking of these small actions, it is said one man came from Iran to do ziyarah of Imam Hussein and Imam Ali, alayhim as-salam, you know, of the Imams in Iraq. On his way to Karbala, he went by an area of farmers. One of those farmers was not a follower of the Imams, was not a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So he looked at this Zair, this person coming for ziyarah, and he told him, you guys, when will you guys, you know, have your mind? Aren't you ashamed of yourselves? You're coming to do ziyarah of a man who died 1200 years ago. When will you guys stop doing this nonsense? So this man looked at him and he said to the farmer, this Zair, from Iran. He looked at this farmer and he said, I will go to my master Amir al-Mu'mineen and I will complain to him of you. And wait. So this man, the Zair, he went to Najaf al-Ashraf. He went to the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. When he entered, he gave his salam, he did his ziyarah. Then he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I came and I had 10 hajat that I wanted to ask you, but I don't want any of them. I have now one hajah. Punish this man. Punish him, because he's your enemy, and he's mocking your zuwar. At night, this man says, in the dream, I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. And he told me, we cannot punish him. He said, why? I asked him in the dream. He said, because he has a right with us. A right. He said, what right, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says, one day, this farmer, he was bringing water to his farm from the river. So he was digging a stream to his farm. He says, as he was digging the stream, the water, he was making the water, and he saw the water flowing, he remembered Imam Hussein alayhi salam, my son. And he said, how terrible were those enemies of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura to deprive him from drinking water? Why couldn't they give him water? So this farmer, he was talking to himself. You know, he remembered Imam Hussein, salamullah alayhi. And hence, And a tear dropped from his eyes. One tear came out of his eyes. So he says, this has value for us, Ahlul Bayt. This has value for us. And hence he has a right with us, Ahlul Bayt. So we can't punish him. This man, the Zair, then woke up. He woke up, he says, I went, did my ziyarat and everything, and on the way back, I went by the same farm. So this farmer saw me, so he said, did you go complain to your imam about me? He said, yes, I did. But he said that he won't punish you because on day so-and-so, imam gave him the details. He said, on day so-and-so, at time so-and-so, you were digging the stream from the river to your farm, and you remembered his son Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and one tear came out of your eyes. So because of that, he said he won't punish you. This man started crying. So the Zair asked him, why are you crying? He says, because nobody knows about this except me and Allah. Nobody knew. So then he said, now I believe in your Imam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad rasul. He was a Muslim. But then he also said the third shahada, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ عَلِيًّا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَوْلَادَهُ الْمَعْصُومِينَ بِالْحَقِّ حُجَجُ اللَّهِ. اللهم صل على الله. So this one tear that comes from the eye could be the savior. Could be the savior. That's why in the hadith it is said, even when you want to drink water, like I mentioned, even when you want to drink water, at the time of drinking that cold water, say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Allahumma al-an qatalat al-Husayn. This one sentence or two sentences. It is said that in the hadith, Allah will give you 100,000 reward hasana and will delete 100,000 sayyi'ah as a consequence. So serving Imam Husayn, brothers and sisters, really can cleanse our souls. And individuals who go into this path of serving Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, Allah blesses them. Allah blesses them in dunya and in the akhirah. Attending the majalis of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. These majalis, some people say, you know, it's Muharram, I have to go. Not just because you have to go. These majalis, you know how many people have been guided through these majalis? The majalis of Imam Husayn alayhi as-salam, because of the sacrifice, as a consequence of the sacrifice of Imam Husayn alayhi as-salam. As a consequence of the sacrifice, we have these majalis, which bring us blessings, barakah. People come to these majalis, they hear maw'idah, admonishment. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah, says, أحيي قلوبكم بالموعظه. Revive your hearts with maw'idah. Because the heart, sometimes they gather rust. Allah says, كَلَّا بَلْغَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Rana is what? Rana means, in Arabic, the literal meaning is rust. Sometimes these hearts, they gather rust. What is this rust? It's the sins, wal'iyadu billah. The rust then covers the heart that makes it doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. Khalas. Doesn't Allah say in the Quran that their hearts are covered? They have a cover over their heart, so they don't see anymore the truth? They can't see the truth? What then removes this rust? The maw'idha, the admonishment. The admonishment. One word. The admonishment of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura cleansed the hearts of 33 mu'min. 33 individual. According to Sayyid ibn Tawus, he says 33 people changed sides from the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd to the camp of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. 33 people. From that maw'idha, the admonishment of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They hear the words of Imam Hussein. It fell on their heart, it cleansed their hearts. From being the enemies of Ahlul Bayt to being martyrs, shuhada, where we all, including the ulama, the fuqaha, stand before their graves and say, Bi abi anta, or Bi abi antum, wa ummi. May my father and my mother be sacrificed for you. We all stand there, we say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum, fanafuza fawzan azeema. These individuals, they changed. How many people come here, they did not pray. They listen to the maw'idah, they start praying. One day one of the ulama, one of the lecturers in Karbala, may Allah bless his soul, Sayyid Muhammad Kazim al-Qazwini, may Allah bless him. He was a lecturer, lecturing about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One day a man came to him and he said, "Sayyid, my neighbor has transgressed and he has taken my house and kicked me out of my house. My neighbor attends your majalis. So please, can you tonight talk something, say something about taking somebody else's house, taking somebody else's rights?" He says, "Okay." So I said, I gave this lecture. And I said in the lecture that it is haram to take somebody else's right. It is haram to take someone's right. You cannot pray in that house. You cannot do anything in that house. It is forbidden. He says, the next day this man came to me, the one whose house was taken away from him. He said, "Sayyid, may Allah bless you." He said, "Immediately after your lecture, this man came to me and said, 'Forgive me, take your house back. Take your house back.'" So this Sayyid, he himself is saying, he used to recite more than one majlis per night. So one night he was tired. He went from one majlis, on his way to the other majlis, he was feeling a bit exhausted, a bit tired. So a man who was with him, he was helping him, you know, get to the place. He told him, "If you're too tired today, why don't you tell them, excuse me tonight, you know, it's okay. You tell the other majlis to excuse you." He said, "If the words have so much power on people that they can change people, then it is our duty to deliver these words. That's our duty. We have to deliver them. Because people's hearts get cleansed through these words." So these are words of admonishment in the majalis of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. People come to the majalis of Imam Hussein, they learn about usul al-deen, about furu' al-deen. They learn what is right and what is wrong, how to perform their salat correctly. Few nights ago, for example, we were discussing some things and we said if somebody sleeps and if he stops hearing things, then his wudu becomes batil. And I mentioned many people go to Masjid al-Nabi, they pray, they snore, and they wake up then and start praying without doing any wudu, renewing their wudu. A person who comes to the majalis of Abi Abdullah knows what is right and what is wrong. People learn how to do their ahkam, what is wajib, what is not wajib, all through the majalis of Ibn Abdullah al-Hussein. Plus all the blessings, the barakat, all these cleanse the heart. So attending these majalis cleanses the heart. Serving Imam Hussein in any way, shape or form cleanses the heart. I was telling today people in Jumu'ah, when you come to the majlis of Abi Abdullah, try to serve in any way you can. Serving chai, serving tea, cleaning, go clean the place. Any way you can. Send your children to do the same thing. Teach them. Let them make the chai, serve the chai, clean the place. In any way, serve water. All these are services where we should take pride in serving Imam Hussein salamullah alayhi. One day a group of people came from Iran, from Tehran, the city of Tehran. They came to a sheikh by the name of Sheikh Murtada al-Ansari, may Allah bless his soul. Sheikh Murtada al-Ansari, about 150 years ago, give or take. 150 years ago, he was al-Marja' al-A'la in Najaf al-Ashraf. Marja' al-A'la. Almost everybody in the Shia world was doing his taqlid. They came to him from Tehran, they said, "Sheikh, why don't you send us a representative of yours, someone to help us if we have masail, if we have things in Tehran. Send us somebody in Tehran." He turned to a Sayyid who has studied from Tehran. From Tehran, but he studied in Najaf and he's become an alim. He told him, "You are an alim, mashallah, now. And you've been studying for so long. And you're from Tehran, so you know the city. So why don't you go to the city of Tehran with those people?" He said, "Okay." So this Sayyid Tehrani, this Sayyid, he goes, after 2 days he comes back. When Sheikh Al-Ansari sees him, he gets surprised. He says, "What brought you back?" "No, I sent you with those people." He said, "I saw a dream. And on Friday I will know if the dream is true or not true." He said, "What is the dream?" He said, "In my dream I saw a big, big mansion. A big mansion. I asked the people, 'Whose mansion is this?' They told me, 'This is the mansion, this is yours. This is your mansion.'
He said, I came to enter it. They told me, no, not yet. On Friday, you'll be allowed to enter this mansion. He says, then I walked a little bit. I saw a bigger mansion, even greater. I told them, whose is this mansion? They told me, this mansion belongs to Sheikh Al-Ansari. Sheikh Al-Ansari has it. He said, well, I looked at it. I said, well, of course, Sheikh Al-Ansari is our teacher. He's the marji' al-a'la. He's the marji'. So definitely he deserves this. He says, then I walked a little bit. I saw an even greater mansion. Far greater than the first two. I told them, whose is this? They told me, this is for a sheikh by the name of a Sheikh Darbandi. Sheikh Darbandi is this one. This is his. He said, and I woke up from the dream. He told Sayyid Sheikh Al-Ansari, he says, if my dream is correct, if it's true, if it's a true dream, it may mean that I'm going to be dying on Friday. So if I die on Friday, I'd rather die here in Wadi Salam and get buried next to Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. But if it's not a true dream, then yes, I'll go to Tehran, inshallah, and I'll join those people. So they waited until Friday. They came to Sheikh Al-Ansari. They said, the Sayyid has passed away. He died. So Sheikh Al-Ansari knew that this dream is true. He went, they washed the body, he prayed salat over him. They buried him in Wadi Salam. Then he came, Sheikh Al-Ansari came the next day to his class, teaching his class. He came to them and he said, he told them the dream. He said, this is what the Sayyid who passed away yesterday, this is the dream he saw. And I've been thinking, why Sheikh Al-Darbandi has a greater mansion than I do? He teaches in Hawza and so do I. He's a alim and so am I. He has written books and so have I. The only thing that came to my mind is that Sheikh Al-Darbandi also, he recites majalis for Imam Abi Abdullah Al-Husayn. He recites majalis. He recites musibah of Imam Hussein. So he makes people cry. He says, I cannot recite musibah. He says, I don't know how to recite musibah. Some of the ulama, they don't know how to recite musibah. They study, for example, fiqh. They teach in Hawza, but they don't learn the recitation of the musibah. So he said, I don't know how to recite musibah. But from tomorrow, before we start the class, we're going to invite somebody for 5-10 minutes to recite the musibah of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, and then we will start with the class. That's what we will do. So serving Imam Hussein salamullahi alayhi, brothers and sisters, is true, the ultimate self-purification. By respecting Ahlul Bayti alayhim as-salam, by remembering Allah night and day, by performing of course our salat and our siyam, because serving Imam Hussein means we take more care of our salat and siyam. By serving Ahlul Bayt means we have to take better care of our a'mal and our akhlaq. The hadith of Imam Sadiq, I think, alayhi salam, I can't remember, one of the ma'sumeen. You know, I don't know the detail or exact context or text of the hadith, but it refers to as, if there is somebody in a city, and there are 1,000 people in the city, if there is any one of them who is more mu'min than he is, then this man is not of our Shia. Our Shia, they have to be the best. The best. So a true person who believes in Ahlul Bayt becomes like Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, in the sense of the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt, following the path of Ahlul Bayt. So that is the best way for us to purify our ruh, our nafs, so that it can ascend in the path of Ahlul Bayt, and then we can see the clear things, the way that Ahlul Bayt wants to see them. And Zainab salamullahi alayha also gave us a beautiful example of such things. In the eve of the 11th of Muharram, eve of a night like last night, Imam al-Sajjad says, I saw my aunt Zainab doing Salatul Layl, but while sitting down. She did Salatul Layl. She did not leave Salatul Layl, even in that difficult state where they had no tents anymore. All the tents were burnt under the skies.
After that difficult day, the day of Ashura, after seeing her brother Abi Abdullah al-Husayn getting killed in front of her, yet you see her ibadah, her taqwa, praying Salatul Layl. He says, I saw her praying Salatul Layl while she's sitting down. I asked her, I said, my aunt, why are you praying while sitting down? She said, my nephew, after all that we have seen, I have lost some of my strength. And hence I am doing my ibadah from julus, from sitting down. And then she went to the body of her brother Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. And she put her hands under the body and she raised the body. And she said, Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban. Oh Allah, accept this qurban, this sacrifice from us. Look how much respect. And she respected the words of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn on the day of Ashura. She ran after the children of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn from one part to another part, collecting them, putting them together, making sure they're all fine, despite her wounds, despite the wounds in her heart, that still did not shake her, did not move her. Out of her respect to her brother Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And hence the ulama say she is the partner of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn in the message. Imam Hussein died on the plains of Karbala, and Zainab alayhi salam revived the plains of Karbala. She revived them throughout her journey, everywhere, every step of the way. But there were some times when she felt the pain, like a day on the 11th day of Muharram, when they came, ordered them to leave Karbala. So she helped all the children and the women ride their camels. But when it was her turn, there was nobody to help her. At that moment, she turned towards Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, alayhi salam. قالت أخي أبا الفاضل أنت الذي أركبتني إذ أردت الخروج من المدينة. Oh brother, يا عباس, you were the one who helped me ride my camel when we wanted to leave Medina. Oh brother Abbas, come and see your sister in this day. She is all alone. Nobody to help me, no one to support me. And if I cry, then the enemies come and beat me with their swords, with their ropes. أخي أبا الفضل قم إلينا يا brother Abbas, come to us, come to our rescue. But I know brother, I know if you had your right arm or your left arm, you wouldn't have left your sister Zainab alone. And brother Abbas, I see your head on the spear in front of me. Oh brother Abbas, I know if your head was not severed from your body, you would not have left your sister Zainab alone on this day. Until then she rode her camel. Then they took the family of Ahlul Bayt, they took them to show them the martyrs and the body of the martyrs. When Zainab saw the body of her brother Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, she cried, Akhi Husayn, oh brother Abi Abdullah, if I had the choice of leaving or staying with you, I would have stayed with you, Ya Abu Abdullah. Those mu'mineen who have gone to Karbala for ziyarah, they know the feeling. On the last day when you are about to leave the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, when you go and you say, Assalamu alayka Ya Abu Abdullah.
Oh, Abu Abdullah, I'm leaving the city of Karbala. The people, those who are from the city of Karbala, they truly understand this meaning. They truly understand this feeling. When they were forced to leave the city of Karbala, they know what the feeling is like. Those Zuwar, those lovers of Abu Abdullah, when they go to Karbala and they want to leave on that last day, those of you who have been there, remember that feeling on the last day when you stood on the shrine of Abu Abdullah and said, Ya Abu Abdullah, alayka minni salam. Oh Allah, don't make this the last time I visit the grave of Abu Abdullah. Remember the tears that came from your eyes. And now remember Zainab alayha salam. She's telling her brother Abu Abdullah, Oh brother Hussein, if I had the choice of staying or leaving, I would have stayed next to you here in Karbala. I would not have left you, Ya Abu Abdullah. But brother, you know I have no choice. I'm being forced by Bani Umayyah and the enemies. They're dragging me out of Karbala, Ya Abu Abdullah. Oh brother Hussein, I see your head here with me, Ya Abu Abdullah. The whole journey, they took the family towards Kufa. Throughout the journey, they saw the head of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, and his lips were moving, reciting the ayah of Surah Al-Kahf. Am hasibta anna ashab al-Kahf wal-Raqim kanu min ayatina ajaba. At one point, the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't move on the spear. They tried shaking the spear, but the head would not move. The spear would not even move. They didn't know what to do. So then they turned to Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. They said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what is going on? Why doesn't the head move? Why doesn't the spear move? He said, look at where the eyes of Abi Abdullah are looking. He said, maybe one of the children of Abi Abdullah is not with the caravan anymore. They looked around, indeed, Sukayna was missing from the caravan. She was not there. They said, where shall we look for her? They looked everywhere, they couldn't find her. He said, look at where the eyes of my father are looking. Look where the eyes are and you'll know, in that direction. So they looked at the eyes of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. They went in that direction. They saw Sukayna falling there, crying for their father. Crying, saying, Abata, Abba Abdullah, help me, Abba Abdullah. Then Shimr came to her, started beating her. Then she turned to the head of her father. She said, Boy, Abata, بويا ما ادري برضاياك لو غصبا عليك انا يجرني العدو من بين ايديك. Oh brother, oh father, Ya Abu Abdullah, do you see the enemies beating your little girl? Oh father, help me. Then they dragged her and they brought her to the caravan. Then Zainab alayhi salam started crying. And the enemies came to her and they started hitting Zainab alayhi salam as well. She turned to the head of Abu al-Fadl. She said, Ya Abu al-Fadl, look at your sister Zainab. أخي عباس قم إلينا. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Raise your hands with the dua. Ya Allah, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء.
Leave these tears in your eyes. Leave them because Allah likes to see these tears for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Inshallah the dua is accepted through these tears.
أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء. 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 اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم. يا الله 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 إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله. اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا يا الله. كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله. وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله مع محمد وآله الأطهار يا الله. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم اجعلنا من شيعة الحسين يا الله. اللهم اجعلنا من خدمة الحسين يا الله. اللهم اجعلنا خداما لمحمد وآل محمد يا الله. اللهم أحينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وأمتنا مماتهم واحشرنا في زمرتهم وارزقنا في الدنيا زيارتهم وفي الآخرة شفاعتهم. اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين يا الله. إلهي بالحسين الشهيد اقض حوائجنا جميعا يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. آمن المسلمين والمؤمنين في أوطانهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله. على الخصوص من أوصونا بالدعاء منهم ألبسهم لباس العافية يا الله. اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات غفرانا. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأوانه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه. اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما قضيت حوائجنا ورزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله. لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى ولكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة ولتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين وإلى روح المرحوم غلام علي ميرالي رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.